November the 10th, just after 9 a.m., and Istanbul's highways and streets are abuzz with morning movement. Then, all of a sudden, it all grinds to a halt. Is it a national emergency, a coup attempt, some natural disaster? Sirens are blaring, and everyone, even cars in the fast lane on the highway, have ground to a halt. A protracted 2 minutes later, the sirens stop, and as if a play button has been activated, life neatly continues, seamlessly, from where it had left off minutes prior. This peculiarity may take a visitor by surprise, but for Turks, this is a well-established annual ritual. Every November 10th, daily life stops at 9:05 a.m. local time. Sirens wail to mark the exact moment of Mustafa Kemal Atatürk's passing, with millions of people across the country observing 2 minutes of silence. Many things have changed in Turkey over a century, but there's still one figure that looms large over the nation. The father of the Turkish Republic, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, is commemorated by many memorials throughout Turkey, such as the Atatürk International Airport, the Atatürk Bridge over the Golden Horn, the Atatürk Dam, and the Atatürk Stadium. Atatürk statues have been erected in all Turkish cities by the Turkish government, and most towns have their own memorial to him. His face and name are seen and heard by everyone in Turkey. His portrait can be seen in public buildings, in schools, on all Turkish lira banknotes, and in the homes of many Turkish families. Who exactly is Mustafa Kemal, and how did he come to become emblematic of the Turkish people? Yet again, the story goes back to World War I.
Cumhuriyetimizin 10. yılını doldurduğu en büyük bayramdı. Kutlu olsun.
A graduate of the Ottoman Military College, Kemal rose to prominence for his purported role in securing the Ottoman victory at the Battle of Gallipoli in 1915. While the Ottoman state threw its lot in with Germany, Atatürk gravitated towards calling victory for Britain in the war, in spite of purportedly inflicting a humiliating defeat on them. As the Ottoman Muslim lands were carved up after the war, he led the Turkish National Movement, which resisted mainland Turkey's partition among the victorious Allied powers. Establishing a provisional government in the present-day Turkish capital, Ankara, he defeated the forces sent by the Allies, thus emerging victorious from what was later referred to as the Turkish War of Independence. He subsequently proceeded to abolish the Ottoman dynasty and proclaim the foundation of the Turkish Republic in its place. Over decades in the Turkish Secular Republic, an image has been constructed of him as an individual who salvaged a unified homeland for the Turks, whilst all neighboring countries were being divided and occupied. His proponents describe him as the cement of the Turkish nation, who provided the Turks with hope in a time of despair.
Had he not been dynamic, and had he not been forceful, had he not been rebellious against the dying Ottoman state was going to do, which was hand over the last piece of land to the British and French, there would be no Turkey today. And I think much of what people admire in him or see him as being the savior of Turkey is that he was brave enough or bold enough to say, you know what, we need to take a stand here. We can't just give everything away. Yeah.
He is then fated by the same for undertaking sweeping progressive changes which made Turkey into a secular, industrial nation. Even today, the legacy of Atatürk in Turkey makes for complex reading, as even some who champion the reassertion of Islam in public life still find paying homage to Atatürk inescapable. Yet, getting caught up in such a narrative and fating him for establishing an independent Turkish state amounts to a wholesale embrace of nationalism, something that was the very antithesis of what the Ottoman Khilafah stood for.
Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, as the title and name says, his name was Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, was a title that was given to him being the father of the Turk. Okay, for some people, he was the father of the Turkish nation, the founder of a Turkish nation, actually, which didn't exist before, because before 1923, before the foundation and the existence of a Turkish Republic, as we know it nowadays, a country, a nation, Turkey, there was nothing else but the Ottoman Empire. And the Ottomans did not consider themselves as being Turks, not at all. They came from Central Asia. They were a dynasty. They were part of a dynasty. And most of them, if not all of them, actually married to non-Turkish women or women of non-Turkish origin. So they gave them the following sultans, you know, starting already with Orhan, Osman's son, who was married to two Byzantine princesses. And that's how it went on, by the way. So they gave them their coming sultans, who were, according to a modern constitution, if we can look at it in a modern way, a modern constitution would actually say that if your mother or your father are of a certain ethnic background, you belong to that ethnicity.
In creating the myth of Atatürk establishing an independent nation, what is erased from the discourse is that something much larger and more vibrant that he and co-conspirators managed to destroy.
The saving that he did, the savior, he's even given the title Ghazi, imagine that. I've seen it on walls in Turkey, you know, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk Ghazi, imagine that. I mean, being put on the same level like Osman or Orhan or who, God knows what else, a sultan, imagine that. I mean, how crazy, how far do you go? This person did saving... He took over the Ottoman Empire, which got destroyed from within under his time, during his time, before his time, and after his time. So he didn't save anything because the Ottoman Empire went under with him. So he did not save. He created another entity, but lost all the others.
In an alternate reading of Atatürk, many questions are raised about his associations, and it is posited that he actively conspired to undermine Ottoman World War successes and was conveniently crafted into the mold of a hero to draw a public following which ultimately would be useful in achieving the long game of destroying the Khilafah.
One of the most famous of those agents, Mustafa Kemal. They call him the father of Turkey. But we know that many Muslims would not call him in such an eloquent way. Because really, this is a man, may Allah curse him, the one who plotted with the West, Britain in particular, to destroy the Khilafah. And he was the one who went on to abolish the Khilafah. And he was a member of the Young Turks. So he was a product of that nationalism, brothers and sisters.
It is acknowledged that Atatürk was not the only reason the Ottoman Khilafah fell, with a steady build-up of many internal and external factors for weakness that have to be considered.
He becomes a figurehead and the catch-all for everything that went wrong. Whereas in fact, if we're going to go into the details, it wasn't, he came to finish the job, but the job was already on the way. It was already on a decline. There was already a lot of betrayal. Yeah. He just came to finish the job. If it wasn't for certain scholars within the Ottoman Empire who went against Sultan Abdul Hamid II, it may never have gone to the point where they themselves would then be subject to Atatürk. Yeah. I'm not saying that he is blameless or that they, I'm just saying that it was already well on the way to destruction and he just finished the job.
Still, the shadowy figure of Atatürk and his rise to prominence at a time critical for the Ummah raises many questions. One surrounds his origins. Was he just an internal secularist, or was he an external infiltrator? In Ottoman lands, in the 17th century, rose to prominence a Jewish rabbi who would claim to be the Messiah. His name was Shabtai Tzvi.
Shabtai Tzvi was a famous rabbi who began to have a larger and larger following and eventually claimed to be the Messiah. And his followers increased, and he began demanding more and more things. A lot of problems happened. He's a very interesting figure. He intermingled with European kings and with the Sultan Mehmed IV, the famous Ottoman Sultan, until finally his demands became so ludicrous and political, and making a long story short, but he began to be political. And when he began to be political, the Sultan imprisoned him. And eventually his followers clamored and whatnot, so the Sultan decided to execute Shabtai Tzvi.
At the moment of his retribution, Shabtai was told by the Grand Vizier that he could avoid the death sentence if he converted to Islam. To the surprise of many, he publicly announced he would become Muslim.
And in the presence of the Sultan, he took off his rabbi cloak and he wore the Ottoman turban and he said the Shahada and he said he's a Muslim.
Yet for many, his supposed embracing of Islam was all a giant facade. He or one of his followers published a mystical work claiming that Shabtai was the true Messiah in spite of his conversion, whose goal was to bring thousands of Muslims to Judaism. He told the Sultan, however, that he was trying to convert Jews to Islam. At times, he assumed the role of a pious Muslim and reviled Judaism, and at other times, he associated with Jews as one of their own. These kinds of practices gave rise to him and his followers being given the title of Donmeh.
He himself became half Jew, half Muslim. He observed Ramadan, but he observed the Sabbath as well. He read some Quran, but he also read the Hebrew. So he had this new thing that came about. And his followers were called Donmeh. Donmeh, which was a derogatory term by the Ottomans, by the Muslims of the time. Donmeh, there is no English equivalent. It means convert, but not with a positive connotation, like a traitor convert. Like, there is no English word. You've turned your back and left, and you've come, but we're not, like a big question mark, you know, that type. This is the term that who gave them? The Muslims of the time. They weren't happy with this guy and his followers. Too weird. Eventually, the Sultan, of course, by the way, initially was very happy, gave him a massive check here, massive money, you became a Muslim, good. Eventually, it turned out he's still observing Jewish rituals and customs, so he lost all favor, he was exiled, he died in exile. His followers, who are now outwardly Muslim, inwardly continued to be what are called crypto-Jews.
A Donmeh community continued to live in Ottoman lands, and it is here that allegedly the past meets present.
Okay, now, to make the plot worse, to make the soup thick here, there's a lot of conspiracy theories. And the problem with conspiracy theories is they're so ludicrous, except for the ones that are true. The conspiracy theories that were started from that time frame, and they lasted up until today, they are there. The religious Muslims of the Ottoman lands said these people are Zanadiqa. What are Zanadiqa? Crypto-Muslims who want to destroy Islam. They're not real, they want to harm Islam. And they hate Islam, but they pretend to be Muslim. And at the turn of the century, 100 years ago, a group called the Young Turks were formed. And the Young Turks were a very, very secular, anti-religious groups of Turks who were keen on abolishing the Khilafah and bringing about a Turkey that was secular in nature. Now, what I'm about to tell you is true. Many of the leaders of this movement were from, in particular, a very, very dashing yet cruel, intellectual yet heartless man later called Mustafa Kemal, later called Ataturk. Ataturk is from the Donme. This is a fact.
Other biographers claim Ataturk was born to a Muslim family and even attended madrasa for a while. Whatever the reality, Ataturk worked tactically through the structures of a state that was rooted in Islam. But when the opportunity presented itself, he distanced himself and his policies from anything religious.
He himself actually said, let this religion go back to where it comes from the desert people. Let it go back to the desert, basically. Okay, and I'm paraphrasing, okay? Another thing that he said, we are not people who believe in a book, as people say that it came from, it was divine or whatever, clearly showing his disagreement to believing in the Quran, subhanAllah. So many things that can be said, many original, alhamdulillah, we do have footage from that time. There are videos, there are recordings from that time in his language, in Turkish, that he really said these things. So it's not something that we make up here, and it's definitely not something Dr. Sefkai is the Greek historian is saying, okay? Just to make this clear.
Ataturk's words provide a clear indication of his beliefs, and it were these beliefs that were to play an instrumental role in the next phase, which was going to be decisive for the fate of the Ottoman Khilafah.
Factually, Ataturk hated Islam. Ataturk mocked Islam. He was not a believer in Islam at all. And it's very clear that he considered Islam to be something that caused his people and nations to be backward. And if he wanted to, if he was able to, he would ban the religion. He did enough damage to the religion as it is.
A lot of things are recorded. We have nowadays recordings from that time, made it be audio or video. They are there. They have been shown on TV. They can be found on YouTube. We can hear him, and that's not words that are put in his mouth. We can hear him saying what I just said. He doubts the Quran as being divine. He leashes out against the ulama and the scholars of that time. He forbids everything that is Islamic, imposes Western European ideas and ideals. He did not believe in the Quran. And that, according to Islamic sources, is a non-Muslim. Somebody who says he doesn't believe in the Quran, doesn't believe in the words of Allah, is a non-Muslim, has left Islam. Okay, somebody persecutes Muslims in such a way that is clearly made that because they are Muslims and they want Islamic law, that is somebody who has a problem with Islam. Somebody who says these things openly is somebody who has a problem with Islam.
And later he said, and this comes very clearly, he said, was it not because of the Khilafah, Islam and the clergy that the Turkish peasants fought and died for 5 centuries? It is high time Turkey looked after her own interests and ignored the Indians and the Arabs. Turkey should rid itself of leading the Muslims. For this man, brothers and sisters, was an agent of the British. They love him.